Psalms chapter 78. The word of God said in verse 1, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments." Verse 8, "And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and a rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God." I want you to look over with me, if you will, in verse number 52. The word of God said, "And made his own people to go forth like sheep, and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. And he led them on safely, so that they feared not, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies. And he brought them to the border of his sanctuary, even to this mountain, which his right hand had purchased. He cast out the heathen also before them, and divided them an inheritance by line, and made the tribes of Israel to dwell in their tents." Drop down with me to verse number 70. "He chose David also his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds, from following the ewes, great with young. He brought him to feed Jacob his people, and Israel his inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart, and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands." You can be seated. Lucas, if you'd come pray for us, brother, I sure would appreciate it. Thank you. Come on up here and pray for us, brother.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for another chance, Lord, to gather together with our brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord. We thank you for the fathers that are able to come out here and all that they've done in our lives, Lord. I thank you for the father that you blessed me with. It was a role model, one that would pray for me, Father, one that loves me. I thank you for being my Heavenly Father and creating me, knowing me that I would have just a life of sin, Lord, but the only way out was sending your own son down to die on the cross for that. My sin debt was set free. I thank you for that, Lord. Ask you to be with Brother Rick as he brings forth the message, Father. Hide him behind the cross, Lord. Anoint the word. We know that it has power, Lord. And if there's one here that doesn't know you, ask that power pricks and convicts their heart, Lord, and they come to be saved. We love you, Lord. Forgive us for we fail you. And give us the courage to represent you in all that we do, Father. In Jesus' sweet and precious name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Lucas. I want to look at three fathers this morning in this text. And we'll be going and not completely through it verse by verse, but several different verses. I want to bring out there are three fathers that I see in the text this morning. And I hope and pray that God will make the message a blessing in our hearing today. The first father I want to look at today in the text is a dedicated father. I want to say before I get started on this subject of a dedicated father, that's exactly what America needs. We need more dedicated fathers. We need fathers that are dedicated to their family, dedicated to their Father in heaven, and dedicated to the things of God. The Word of God teaches that Christ, for a father to be what God wants him to be, is to be the head of the man, and that the man is to be the head of the woman, and that God, beloved, set up the family. And one of the reasons that we're suffering in our nation, the way that we're suffering, I was talking with a brother a while ago that's been a guard in prison. And many of the men in prison grew up without a father. They grew up without anybody to, I love this, jerk a knot in their tail. There's a brother that said that to me several years ago, and I haven't forgotten it. Amen. And he said, sometimes youngins just need somebody to jerk a knot in their tail. I don't know if Daddy was any good at jerking knots, but he did all right with stripes. I can tell you that right now. Amen. I tell everybody, Mama whooped me every day, and I don't remember one of them. Daddy whooped me four times, and I ain't forgot one of them. Amen. You say, Preacher, I wouldn't talk about whooping in this generation. Don't you know we've got past that? That's our problem. I believe the Word of God still works. Amen. God still, those that God loves, the Word of God said He chastens. Amen. And one fellow said he read that betimes, and he thought it said bedtime. Amen. Because his daddy always whooped him at bedtime. I heard a preacher say one time, you know the difference between a whipping and a whooping. He said a whipping's two or three good licks. He said a whooping's two or three licks shy of eternity. Amen. That's why I ain't never forgot it. Amen. When daddy gave me a whooping. Amen. I love my daddy. And at the time I didn't understand it. Boy, I do now. And I thank God. No telling where I'd be without a daddy that loved me enough to correct me. I got saved when I was 27 years old. What I was telling Sister Danita a while ago is he still looks beyond my faults and sees my need. He still, beloved, is willing to correct me when I need to be corrected. That's how much my Heavenly Father loves me. And we need dedicated fathers. You say, Preacher, what will a dedicated father do? Well, I see three things I want to share with you in the text, and we'll move on to the second father. The first father, the dedicated father, number one, will hear. The Word of God said, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. In verse number three, it says, which we have heard. A dedicated father doesn't know it all. A dedicated father knows that he needs to turn his ear towards the God of heaven. And he's still learning. It doesn't matter for, beloved, a father at 20 years old or a father at 50 years old or a father at 60 years old. We're still learning, amen? And we still need to hear from heaven. And we need to get our direction, our instruction, get in this manual that God has given us, the Holy Word of God, the Bible, and let God instruct us. So a dedicated father will hear. And beloved, listen, I feel sorry for you. Listen, listen, listen. I'm proud of our teenagers, the chapters that they're reading. I asked them last week to read 1 Samuel 17. That's where we've been teaching for the last couple of weeks. And I had one young lady Friday night said, I just went ahead and read 1 Samuel. I say, hallelujah. That's exciting, amen. Not just do what you're asked to do, but above and beyond. And God's going to use people like that, amen. And I appreciate that. I really do from the bottom of my heart. A dedicated father is not just going to read enough to get by, but he's going to say, God, I'm not going to get out of here until you speak to me, until I hear from heaven, amen. I need you to instruct me. So a dedicated father will hear. Secondly, a dedicated father will not hide. Look what the Word of God said here in verse number 4. We will not hide them from our children. I'm going to tell you something today. Listen to me carefully. Beloved, listen. If our life doesn't line up with our lips, we're hiding the truths of the Word of God from our children. You can say all you want to and be saying it right. But if it's not a life to back up what we're saying, beloved, listen to me carefully, amen, then we're hiding, amen, from our children the principles of this book. We still believe that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. I'm telling you, beloved, it's one thing to profess Christ. It's another thing to possess Christ. You say, Pastor, how do you know the difference? I'll tell you, I can wrap it up in one word, change. When Jesus comes in, he changes a life. Yes, we'll still have faults. Yes, we'll still make mistakes. Yes, we'll still have to say, I'm sorry. But we'll be different than we were before. I'm reminded of the Salvation Army story, where a man was standing up and giving his testimony, and a heckler in the back of the crowd said, shut up, old man, shut up.
You're dreaming. You're dreaming. And a little boy pulled on that fellow, that heckler's coattail, and said, Mister, said, that's my daddy standing up there. Said, my daddy used to get drunk. My daddy used to beat us. He'd beat my mama. We would run under the bed and hide. He said, Mister, if my daddy's dreaming, please don't wake him up. I'm telling you, there was a boy that saw a difference in his daddy's life. Amen. Because his daddy had heard, and his daddy was not hiding. He was willing to stand up publicly and testify before the Salvation Army of what God had done in his life. A dedicated father will hear. A dedicated father will not hide the truths of the Word of God. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. I'm telling you, beloved, listen. Listen, if we don't want our children to be ashamed of Jesus, we better not be ashamed of Him. We better not be ashamed to praise Him. We better not be ashamed, beloved. The Word of God said here, His strength, to let the youngins know, amen, that we're making it by the grace of God, amen. I'm telling you, beloved, our country's in trouble because we're lacking fathers, beloved, that are unashamed of the gospel of Christ. We're many times lacking fathers, period. I used to tell them in prison all the time, anybody can lay down with a woman and, my friend, get her pregnant. It takes a real man to stand up and be a father, amen, to the children. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, we need more fathers in America. We need more fathers that will hear. We need more fathers that will not hide. The Word of God said here, He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. Oh, beloved friend, listen to me. How sad it would be for you or me to be the link that broke the chain in our family. God said, listen, preacher, I don't want you to just tell your children. I want your children to tell their children, and I want their children to tell their children. Somebody help me this morning, amen. God does not want that link broken. He wants it to go on from generation to generation. And every once in a while, beloved, listen, there'll be somebody that doesn't have that chain in their family, and God will save them and start a chain for the glory of God. Amen. What a blessing that is. A dedicated father will hear. A dedicated father will not hide. A dedicated father will honor. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? The Word of God said in verse number 7 that they might set their hope in God. A dedicated father doesn't want their children to set their hope in them. A dedicated father wants them to look beyond this father to that father and realize this father won't always be here, but that father will never leave you. That father will never forsake you. That father will go with you all the way, even to the end of the world. Oh, I say, beloved friend, this morning, a dedicated father will hear. He will not hide, and he will honor the God of heaven, that they might, the Bible said, set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, I preached a message one time entitled, Only If You Love Me. He didn't tell everybody to keep His commandments. He just said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I'm telling you, beloved, I believe with all of my heart, we need some dedicated fathers. Listen, if you are a dedicated father, I thank God for you. But I tell you this, it's by the grace of God that you're dedicated to Him and not dedicated to this world. Amen. Not dedicated to the things of this world. I thank God for dedicated fathers. The second father I want to look at today is a dangerous father. You say, Pastor, do you really believe there's dangerous fathers in the world? I want to show you in the text, beloved, how God is speaking to my heart. The Word of God said in verse number 8, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and a rebellious generation. There are some fathers that are dangerous They're stubborn. They're rebellious. You say, preacher, what are some of the marks? Let me just show you here. Let's just read a little bit. The Bible said, they set not their heart aright, whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Let me tell you something, beloved. God's not looking for wishy-washy fathers, in and out and up and down. He's looking for some dedicated fathers. He's looking for some fathers, beloved, that'll stay by the stuff when things are going well. Oh, I tell you, I've had the privilege in my life to watch some fathers when things were not going well. I'll tell you, it was still well with their soul. It was still well in their home because, beloved, they let their family know, listen, that God's on the throne, amen, and God's in control. And, beloved, put your hope not in this daddy, but in Abba Father, the Father of Heaven, amen. Watch what the Bible said here. The Bible said they were not steadfast. And then the Bible said in verse 10, they kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in His law. That's a dangerous position to be in. Let me just give you this illustration. My daddy wouldn't mind. God was dealing with my daddy's heart one Sunday night, Sutherland Community Church in Damascus, Virginia. The preacher preached. The preacher preached with tears. He preached with compassion. And my daddy stood in the back of that church, Brother Stephen, and held on to that pew till his knuckles turned white. And my daddy went out that night, those doors, the same way he came in. God, the Holy Ghost, ringing out his heart and trying to do a work in his heart. The next day, Brother Preston, we're on a roof 2.5 stories above the ground. There's a pile of 6x6s out in front of the house. And, beloved, listen, we were up there, and there was paper that had already been put on the roof. And it was a standing seam roof, an old-timey copper roof that we were installing on that house. We didn't have the option, beloved. Listen, I'm not poor, Mathen, but we couldn't choose the days we worked and we didn't work. We had to work every moment that we could work, amen. And I'm not talking about to save money. I'm talking about to make a living, amen, and keep food on our table and clothes on our back. And I don't begrudge a bit of that, but we were up there when we shouldn't have been up there. There was frost on that paper, Brother Larry, and my daddy said to me, son, we'll need to be careful this morning or one of us will fall. That's what he said. He no sooner spit it out of his mouth, I turned my back on my dad and I heard a thump. And what that thump was his feet went out from under him. And he hit the roof. And by the time I could turn, Brother Steve, my daddy was going out over the edge of that roof and fell across that pile of 6x6s. My daddy on Sunday night rebelled against God. My daddy on a Sunday night was stubborn. He bucked up on God and went out, beloved, listen to that service. And listen, he broke his back, he broke his ribs, he broke his shoulder. He's laying in the hospital, and the pastor came to see him. And Daddy looked up, and he said, Pastor, he said, a man can look up when God's dealing with him, or God can put him in a position that the only way he's got to look is up. He never held it against God. He got saved. He served God. The rest of his days, he was a pastor's best friend. He would paint, mow, and do everything he could around the church. I'm just telling you, it's dangerous to buck up on God, be stubborn, and be rebellious. Amen. It's a dangerous position to be in. I didn't plan on telling you that this morning, but it was a good illustration. I'm going to tell you something else, beloved. Listen, God gave Daddy another opportunity. My daddy could have broke his neck and went to hell. But you're going to find out in this chapter, God's a merciful God. He's a God that's full of compassion. But I'll tell you this, beloved, when God deals with a daddy's heart, daddy needs to do business with God. Because we have no promise of another day. We have no promise, beloved, of another breath. God, beloved, listen. Said, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. There's a dangerous father in the text. He forgets God. He's faithless. The Word of God said in verse 22, because he believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. It's dangerous to forget God. It's dangerous, beloved, listen, to be a faithless man and not believe God. He fails to believe God. The Word of God said here, look in verse number 17, they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. Some people, listen, some people, if they had went through what my dad went through, listen, I know what I'm talking about. Instead of allowing God to make them a better man, they would have become a bitter man. Now you got all them hospital bills to pay. Are you listening to me? But God broke my daddy's heart. He broke his heart on Sunday night, but he rebelled. You see, God will give us a choice. We can serve him or we can rebel against him. But beloved, listen, it's not a wise thing to do. It's dangerous for the father to rebel. The Bible said here, not only do they forget God and not only are they faithless, but they're foolish. In verse number 17, they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. Some people, beloved, when they start down that road, all that sin does is like a snowball. The further it rolls down the hill, the bigger it gets. Amen. Foolish. Look what the Word of God said in verse 32. For all this, they sin still and believe not for his wondrous works. I'm telling you, beloved, listen. God knows what he's doing right here in this chapter. He's telling about us about a dedicated father. But he's telling us about a dangerous father. Listen to me. Ask Achan. It was not only dangerous for Achan, Brother Steve, but it was dangerous for his children. Achan's not the only one that died when he rebelled against God and took the wedge of gold and the wedge of silver and the Babylonian garment. You read it, beloved. They piled them rocks up over top of them. They heaped them up to remember, beloved, listen, the whole congregation suffers when one goes out yonder. The whole family suffers when a father goes out yonder and rebels against God, a dangerous father. But I want to give you this in closing this morning. This is really what I want to get to. This message, it don't always work out that way, Brother Steve. But this message reminds me of Dr. Harry Robinson. Does anybody know Brother Harry Robinson from Bristol? Brother, was he not a blessing of blessings? He sat down with me, brother, when I was a young pastor. I'm talking about 29, 30 years old. I had him come preach revival when I was in Wise. And he told me things that I've never forgotten. And one of the things he told me, he said, now, Brother Rick, he said, in the ministry, he said, people are going to leave you. He said, it just happens. They're going to leave the church. He said, don't you get up and say they look just as good going as they do coming. He said, don't you say that. He said, don't you get up and say, don't let the door hit you in the backside on the way out. He said, don't you live like that. And he said this to me, Brother Wayne. He said, if you'll leave a door open, he said, sometimes them people will come back. They'll be some of the best members you've ever had, and I've lived to see it. But you see, I had some coaching early on, or I might have followed some of them other young whippersnappers and said things like that. You know what I mean? But he said to me one time, he said, a good sermon's like a sandwich. Here we go, Brother Larry. I'm back on your mater, amen, the other night when you preach. He said, a good sermon's like a sandwich. He said, always start it with a piece of bread, a dedicated father. He said, now in the middle of it, he said, that's where the meat is. He said, you might have to get meaner than a junkyard dog in the middle of it. That's a dangerous father. Well, here we come. He said, but don't ever forget to put another piece of bread on it before you send them to the house. You say, preacher, that's so, listen, I'm going to tell you something. That man knows more. He's forgot more than I'll ever know. He's in heaven. He didn't have much of an education, Brother Steve, but he had a heart full of God. He loved that book. He loved his people. I believe there were 2,500 members in the church where he pastored at Emmanuel in Bristol. He loved the Lord. He told the Lord one day, he said, Lord, he said, I'm not going to bed on Saturday night until I've knocked on 100 doors. in this community. And he said many times, he said, I'd get up from dinner on Saturday night and I'd realize I'm 10 doors short. So he'd have to go out and finish up what he told the Lord he would do. I tell you what he'd do, Brother Steve. I'm telling you the kind of man that he was. He'd open the door on the passenger side. He'd say, get in, Lord. Because if you don't go with me, there ain't no need in me going. You say, Pastor, that kind of stuff's foolish. No, he just recognized that without God, he couldn't do anything. Amen. I don't even know, Brother Ralph, if he told the Lord his wife had already wore the brakes out or not. Amen. First time I got in the car with Brother Ralph, he said, now, preacher, he said, that brake over there, Shelby's done wore it out. There ain't no use to mash on it. Amen. You remember that, Brother Ralph? I'll never forget it. And if you ride with him about from here to town, you'll understand why he told me. Amen. Amen. I think God is using him to get people on praying ground. I think that's what it is. Amen. You better pray up before you get in the car with him. But I said all that to say this. There are dedicated fathers. There are dangerous fathers. But there's the father of all fathers that I want to finish the message with. And that's a delivering father. That's a father that can deliver you. It doesn't matter where you're at. That's a father that loves you. Look what the Word of God said. In verse number 37, it said, for their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. Look at verse 38. Every one of us ought to shout on these two words, but he, how many of y'all realize that he's still full of compassion? Amen, Brother Rufus. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all of his wrath. I'm telling you, if you've been saved any length of time at all, I can promise you, many a time, he's had compassion on you. Didn't stir up all of his wrath. The Word of God said, for he remembered that they were but flesh. The Word of God said, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. I want you to know, beloved, there is a Father that delivers. There's a Father that's still delivering marriages. There's a Father that's still delivering teenagers. There's a Father that's still delivering fathers. Like that one at the Salvation Army. I used to tell him in the prison, you're never going to find satisfaction in Bud Dummer or Miller Lowlife. If you'd ever get you a drink of living water, amen, you'll find satisfaction. Listen, that woman come with a bucket there in John chapter 4 and left with the well. Glory to God, there'll be in you a well of water springing up into everlasting life. There's a Father, beloved, that's still delivering sinners. Look at verse 52. But he made his own people to go forth like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. You remember the pillar of fire by night, the cloud by day. You'll say, preacher, man, that'd be nice. Oh, we got something better than that. We got the Holy Ghost that lives inside of us. You know what he's here for? To lead us and to guide us, to help us. Amen. That's what he's here for. Watch now. He led them on safely so that they feared not, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies. And he brought them to the border of his sanctuary, even to the mountain, which his right hand had purchased. He cast out the heathen also before them, divided them an inheritance by line. Yet the Word of God said, they tempted and provoked the Most High God and kept not his testimony, but turned back and dealt unfaithfully. Like their fathers, they turned aside like a deceitful bow. Some, when they meet that delivering Father, will accept the deliverance that he has to offer. Others
will just stub up again, rebel again, go away again, the same way that they came. Look with me, if you will, down in the last few verses. The Bible said he chose David also, his servant, took him from the sheepfolds. We've been kind of looking at that this morning and last Sunday morning in Sunday school. I asked the young people the question, Brother Steve, whose job was more important? David staying behind with Jesse and taking care of the sheep, or the three older brothers that went with Saul to the battle against the Philistine? It's not a trick question, really, but whose job was more important? The young'uns got the right answer. You know what they said? Neither. And I said, that's exactly right. Because David was where he was supposed to be, doing what God wanted him to do. And the three older brothers were out there on the battlefield where they were supposed to be with the king, doing what God wanted them to do. What I'm trying to get across is, beloved, listen, when you look at David, he don't look like much. I told the kids this morning they must have looked like a nerd the way the Bible described him, amen. And the giant looks at him, here comes a nerd after me, amen. You know, he's got a stick. Am I a dog? You know what I mean? The Bible said he was ruddy, a fair countenance. The Bible called him a stripling. You know what that means? That means he didn't have no sand in his breeches. Amen? I've met some people. There's one girl the girls went to school with, and I nicknamed her Stripe. She said, why do you call me that? I said, because you're so skinny, you ain't got but one stripe in your pajamas. I believe David was like that. But there was something on the inside that that giant couldn't see. There was something on the inside that Saul couldn't see. There's something on the inside that Eliab couldn't see. And that was David's God, a heart for God, and a heart to go out there and do what needed to be done. Look what the Bible said here. We're talking about now a delivering father. From following the ewes, great with young, he brought him to feed Jacob, his people, and in Israel his inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. Beloved, this morning, every one of you that are saved by the grace of God have a Father in heaven that loves you, that will deliver you. However you need deliverance, there's a God that's able. We tried to stress in our Sunday school class, Saul said, thou art not able. What's the Bible say? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Beloved, listen. In ourselves, dads, if you've walked with God, you already know you can't do it alone. But you also know there's nothing you can't do with God's help. Amen. I see in the text a dedicated father. I see a dangerous father. And I see a delivering father. And I know this morning, beloved, listen, that he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or even think, according to the power that worketh in us. Saved people have access to the God of heaven because of the sweet Holy Spirit that lives in our bosom. Beloved, if you're here today and you're not saved, oh, it'll be a wonderful day. Wonderful day. Maybe you've been a dangerous father, rebelled, stubborn. My brother said one time, I like the saying, he said, it's what you learn after you know it all that really counts. I like that saying. When I was young, I thought my dad was kind of dumb. Dad, you just not with it. I don't get to paint my bedroom black. I don't get to put up rock and roll posters and strobe lights and black lights like my cousin. When are you going to get with it, Dad? I want to stand today and say, I'm glad my dad never did get with it. I'm glad I never did paint my bedroom black. I'm glad I never did wear an earring. I'm glad I never did paint my fingernails. I'm glad I never did wonder if I was a boy.
I'm not criticizing. I'm just telling you I'm glad. I'm glad I'm still saying it's okay to say Happy Father's Day. We've got a bunch of idiots in this country. They don't want any Father's Day, any Mother's Day. They don't want any day. They just want to call it a day off. You want to know why? Because they're off. I said it and I ain't taking it back. They're off. Anybody's got a problem with celebrating fathers has got a problem with this Bible. Anybody's got a problem with celebrating mothers has got a problem with this Bible. I'll say this. Anybody's got a problem with a man supposed to marry a woman, a woman supposed to marry a man, has got a problem not with this preacher, but with this Bible. Male and female made he them, and he's never changed it. It's still the same. Thank God. The remnant of God's people in the world that still believe God ain't all mixed up. Amen. He loves us. He wants to help us. I promise you this. God knows who the dedicated fathers are. And the dedicated fathers want to be more dedicated. God knows who the dangerous fathers are. The question this morning is, do we know who the delivering father is? Do we know the one that delivers from sin? One woman, one time, Brother Larry, you may have heard the story. She just all the time bragging on God. A sinner man, one time, he told the neighbors, he said, you just watch. He said, you just watch. He said, I'm going to get her. He knew she was without groceries. So a sinner man went and bought the groceries, put them on the porch, knocked on the door, and ran around the side of the house and had everybody watching. She come out on the porch, started shouting, Brother Gary, "Woo! Glory to God! Thank you, Lord, for the groceries. Thank you, Lord." Well, sinner man walked around on the porch and said, "Lord didn't have nothing to do with them groceries. I brought those groceries." She said, "Praise God! Lord, you let the devil deliver them." Amen. There is a God in heaven. And he can even use a sinner man to deliver what needs to be delivered. He used an unclean bird, didn't he, Brother Larry? What was it called? A raven? Is that what it was called that fed Elijah down there at the brook? That was a bird you wasn't allowed to kill and cook and eat. It was an unclean bird. Phew, glory to God, I just got a chill on that one. That's all we was, a bunch of unclean. But he took us and washed us and cleaned us and put us in his family and gives us a little something to do for his honor and for his glory. Let's get us a song. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Thank you for coming.